every day it felt the same. In fact, every week and every month, you know, do the job, make a meal, go to sleep, repeat, repeat, repeat. It was like monotonous drudgery. And it wasn't just the repetitive nature of the grind that sort of got to you. It was a slow wearing down of the soul. It was like something beautiful and purposeful was being worn off or scraped off a Mona Lisa painting, you know, dropped on the floor and then trampled on and ground into the dust. And they sensed that they were losing themselves, you know, who they were, who they were meant to be, all at the hands of a slave master tyrant. What keeps you stuck? What keeps you in the same mental health time zone? That hole of depression or that tightrope of anxiety? Yeah, there was a whole nation of people. It was the oppression of an Egyptian slave master. They were building a man's glory while destroying their own. That was the lot of the nation of Israel. Slaves to Pharaoh, brickmakers day in and day out. And here's a passage I want to read to you. So they, the Egyptians, organized them, the Israelites, into work gangs and put them to hard labor under gang foremen. They built the storage cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the harder the Egyptians worked them, the more children the Israelites had. Children everywhere. The Egyptians got so they couldn't stand the Israelites and treated them worse than ever, crushing them with slave labor. They made them miserable with hard labor, making bricks and mortar and back-breaking work in all the fields. They piled work upon work, crushing them under the cruel workload. You can imagine that, eh? Brick upon brick upon brick, every day, relentless. How does that work on your soul? It just tires you down, just wears you down into despair. You know, it's easy to identify an external slave master. You know, they could say, right, there's a slave master. They're the ones that are causing this slavery, this despair. Easy to identify. It's their fault. You know, they are the ones to blame. They are the ones who are making my life miserable. And it's so easy to give others more power than God ever wanted them to have. And yes, some people are controllers. They like to be slave masters, dominating and oppressing. They, too, are trapped in their fears. There's an interesting psychological concept called locus of control. And I'd like to read a section out of Wikipedia related to locus of control. Locus of control is the degree to which people believe that they have control over the outcome of events in their lives, as opposed to external forces beyond their control. Understanding of the concept was developed by Julian Rotter in 1954 and has since become an aspect of personality studies. A person's locus, plural loci, or Latin for place or location, is conceptualized as internal, brackets, a belief that one can control one's own life, close brackets, or external, a belief that is controlled by outside factors which the person cannot influence, or that chance or fate controls their lives. Individuals with a strong internal locus of control believe events in their life derive primarily from their own actions. For example, when receiving exam results, people with an internal locus of control tend to praise or blame themselves and their abilities. People with a strong external locus of control tend to praise or blame external factors such as the teacher or the exam. What does your focus tell you about your locus? Yeah, I've found in myself and others that focusing on how other people treat you, which is an external locus, takes away a sense of personal power. You give them, the other, more power than they need to have. And hey, and we even do this with God. blaming God for our circumstances instead of taking healthy responsibility for our own choices. Oh, and yes, we can blame the devil too. And the devil may be by this dress by Flip Wilson springs to mind, which is a must listen. And I would really encourage you to come over to the website and click on the link and listen to Flip Wilson and The Devil Made Me Buy This Dress. It's very, very funny. But there has to be a time when you come to an internal locus of control. What can I do? What do I have control over? There comes a time when you've had enough of being a slave. The slavery of a belief you have held in your brain, a pharaoh-sized belief, is keeping you in captivity. You recognize that there is some internal thinking work that you need to do. No one else can do it for you. It's your brain, your responsibility, 100%. So you cry out in prayer because you realize that this is just too big for you to do it by yourself. As Larry Crabb says, supernatural goals need supernatural resources. So you sense yourself as being like those Israelites. And there's another passage here. The Israelites groaned, and you can hear that groan, can't you? Groaned under their slavery and cried out. Their cries for relief from hard labor ascended to God. God listened to their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw what was going on with Israel. God understood. Isn't that wonderful? God listened, remembered, saw, understood. And then in the male aspect of God's divine nature, God moves. Wow. And in the next chapter, we read about Moses. Yeah, God moves to a man on the run, a man also trapped and enslaved by his beliefs. Moses had been living in the desert for 40 years. He had killed an Egyptian slave master and had fled. You know, 40 years of being shaped by both the harshness and the beauty of the wilderness. And I've been listening to a song by Bruce Cockburn, and this is the first verse of a song called 40 Years in the Wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, getting to know the beast, projected and reflected on the greatest and the least. 40 years of days and nights, angels hovering near, kept me moving forward, though the way was far from clear. You know, we all need a Moses, someone who will speak healing truth to our lives, the concoctions we have created in our minds that keep us enslaved. It will be spirit, holy, nudging, poking, prodding, alluring us to face the falsity. You know, Jesus said, I will talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the spirit of truth. That's what we need, truth. You know, the words of encouragement will come through others, people who have a compelling vision for you that things can be different. Silence will be involved where you have to both wrestle and dance with your own beliefs. I, Barry, may also be involved. If I can, at the very least, pray for you, then it will be just a great privilege. You know, and you can send me an email at barry@turningthepage.info or come over to the website and go to the contact form and write something to me there. Will it always be like this? I don't think so. History tells me, from my life and looking at others, that change happens. Hope is the dance partner of faith and love. So let's keep seeing where this leads. Here's some quotes for us to consider. Despair is what happens when there is a lack of new creation, when things are just what they are and there is a deep sense of impotence that there is nothing you can do about it. Rob Bell. Despair is a spiritual condition. Despair is when you fall under the belief and the conviction that tomorrow will be simply be a repeat of today. Rob Bell. Richard Rohr, he says, without the inner discipline of faith, most lives end in negativity, blaming, or deep cynicism without even knowing it. Abraham Joshua Heschel says, faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart. David Riddell. When you are no longer able to change, what will God do with you if you have not yet become what he wants? Richard Rohr. God does not love you if and when you change. God loves you so that you can change. And the final one from David Riddell. Don't judge the future by the past. The future will be different when new insights and understandings restore hope. Here's some questions for you. Number one, what beliefs are keeping you enslaved? Number two, what's it like to know God listens to your groans, remembers the promises, sees your plight, and understands? Number three, what would God moving into your situation look like? Would you like an on-the-run convict to be your advocate, rescuer? Yeah. Hey, I hope you found this helpful, and I hope that this somehow touches you, maybe someone you know, and you might like to share this with someone you know that is in that place of despair and struggle. And send me an email. I'd love to hear from you and pick up on your comments and how are you going. And so the website is turningthepage.info. And just a big shout out to the person who signed up for Patreon support of what we're doing here. Thank you very much. I'm not going to say your name, but just thank you very much. It's really appreciated. And perhaps you, if you're listening to, you're thinking, I'd really like to support what Barry's doing here. Well, I'd like you to come over to turningthepage.com/support. And there's various ways in which you can support what we're doing. The best way is via Patreon, which is like a dollar a month at the minimum. And it would just mean so much to me to know that someone else out there is getting what we're doing and wants to help see this grow. Hey, thanks very much, and look forward to chatting with you next week. Okay, bye.